Laaste ek gecheck het, was daar nie 'n sign buitekant wat sê stilte kerk. Hier is nie daai tipe kerk nie. Hoekom is julle so stil? It's good to be back. Ek hoop en vertrou julle het ons soveel gemis as wat ons julle gemis het. Thank you. We missed you too, Nicolene. Bless you. I can feel the love in this place. It's absolutely awesome. I'm overwhelmed with the warmth of the people in the church this morning. Thank you for your loyal support in our absence. I think the first week I sent a Bambi to be with Jesus. It needed to go to Jesus because it was tired of life down here. Last weekend we had the privilege of ministering in Clarence, and it was amazing to see God's kingdom come and His will be done. Trust a big harvest of souls. For the time we spent over there, it was a privilege of having Kunrat and Leonie as ministry partners with us. It was really an incredible time. To the folks that helped and supported yesterday at Wayne's second memorial service, you guys know who you are. Thanks to Madeleine and her team, and to Chris, who became the cameraman at the last minute, and Madeleine that does her best to try and manage all those knoppies and liggies daar achter, soos wat die sound engineers did doen. Thank you to each and every single person. To Johan and Philly afterwards that stuck it through with me to continue ministering at Savannah. It's absolutely, absolutely awesome. Wonderful just to see what God, excuse me, is doing in people's lives. Are you ready to receive from the Lord this morning, church? Are you excited about the fact that God's going to speak into your heart? Okay, the rest of you, you hope you get excited by the end of the day. So, I know of two occasions in the scripture where Jesus acted in a way that we would think to ourselves, what? You're supposed to be God. It's not supposed to be like that, dude. Two times. I'm going to demonstrate the one time where he exhibited this kind of behavior and tell you about another time. What? Lord, your servant hears. You've turned my house, my father's house, into a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. It's a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves. What's the matter with you people? You disrespect my father's house. It's a house of prayer. Prayer to seek the face of my father. To seek his heart for the lost. And you come here and you play church. And you turn it into a den of thieves. Get out. Where's my whip? You look. Jesus was so angry. Because they turned his house of prayer into a den of thieves. Relax. Julle is nie diewe nie. This is not such a place. And another time he was so angry. And it freed me of so much stuff. Because I used to get bent out of shape. And I just got so angry at people. I could get so angry I could crush a grape. Net so. And I was bent out of shape about that. I'm supposed to be a man of God, and I have this anger rising up within me. And then I read that Jesus got angry because of the hardness of the people's hearts. And I said, yes, Lord, even you get it. You get angry because of the hardness of their hearts. The snarks, Nescott. But I was blown away. I was like, Mos, you're not so bad. Sometimes people can be so, I'm not stupid, because people, I don't know, Lord, I don't know. And it set me free. And this morning, I believe God wants us to have a fresh look at this thing called prayer. And we're starting a sermon series this morning called God's House of Prayer. And we're going to speak about this physical building that people say, ons het kerk toe gekom. I wish we would get over that. Because you are supposed to be the church. We come to a place that should be a house of prayer. We come to a place that should be the place where God's glory dwells. Nee, maar dan kom ons hiernatoe en somtyd sommiges, nee, dan beskinder hulle mekaar. En dan judge hulle mekaar. They look you and they check you up and down, en in 'n paar sekondes het hulle jou klaar opgesom. And God wants you to be a house of prayer. And you know what? Hier's 'n paar leë sitplekke vanoggend. Ek wonder hoekom. Ek wonder hoekom. I'm telling you now, it's got nothing to do with winter. It's got nothing to do with a long weekend. Maybe it's because this place could become more of a house of prayer. Because I can tell you, if a place is a house of prayer and God's glory dwells there, there won't be place for people to stand, let alone sit. So are we ready to learn about what it means to be a house of prayer, church? What does it mean to be a house of prayer? In the sermon series, I don't know what that is. I think it's probably because I'm down here. I know, guys, I didn't tell you, but on solid adjust. In the sermon series, we're going to look at, amongst other things, we're going to be going through this, which we see here. I wonder what, how different our lives would be and how different the world would be if we prayed the way Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Okay? Is everybody's mind off that buzzing sound and Leon now? Can I get everybody's attention again? Thank you, Leon. I wonder how different our world would be and our lives would be if we prayed like Jesus taught us to pray in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. I wonder how different this place would look, the world would look, your life would be. And in this sermon series, we're going to look at, amongst other things, biblical truths about prayer. We're going to look at fallacies and misconceptions about prayer. We're going to look at Jesus' model prayer. When he said, when you pray, pray to the Father in my name, and this is how you should pray. We're going to look at personal and practical implementation for daily prayer life. What does it mean as a Christian where the scripture says you must pray always and pray unceasing? Who bid jy terwyl jy jou tande borsel met 'n Oral-B elektriese tandeborsel? Hoe doen jy dit? Prakties gewys. Hoe doen jy dit wanneer jy bestuur, wanneer jy ry, wanneer jy raas met jou kinders? Hoe bid jy altyd? How do you pray all the time? What does it mean to pray all the time? Does it mean I've got to sit there like, wrong church. What does it mean to pray all the time? Pray unceasing. Pray without stopping. What does it mean, church? Any ideas? We're going to learn what that's about. We're going to learn about specific types of prayer. We're going to learn about hindrances to effective prayer, the things that stops us from being able to pray, like leaving the service when they're speaking about prayer. I love you, Mr. Elwood. I love you, Darren. He knows me, so he's used to me now. We're going to look at hindrances to effective prayer. We're going to look at the difference between personal and corporate prayer. These are the things we're going to look at over time. So I hope you're excited about that. Are you ready for that? Okay, now that you know what we're going to be speaking about, the service is over. You can leave now. Okay, hier gaan ons, nee? All right. Every single Christian goal and objective can only ever be achieved through prayer. Every single Christian goal and objective can only ever be achieved through prayer. Only through prayer. What are the Christian goals and objectives? It's actually very, very simple. They asked Jesus the same question, and he taught it to them. I'm going to paraphrase it for you this morning. The primary Christian goals and objectives, the end-all and be-all of this thing called Christianity. Love God, love people. That's it. Hoe moeilik is dit? So if it's so easy, hoekom sukkel ons so daarmee, Sally? Why do we sukkel to love our neighbors as we love ourselves? Why do we sukkel to love the unlovable like Jesus loves them? Why do we sukkel to love God? Why? That's it. These Christian goals and objectives can only and will only be achieved when you in yourself, your temple becomes a house of prayer. And you fellowship and visit at a house of prayer. And you understand that prayer means it's more a case of being with someone than it is about doing something. Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. You say to me, Mozzie, well, that muhu is not my neighbor. He doesn't stay next to me, so I don't have to love him. The principle is, the neighbor means your fellow human being. Maak dit sin, Francois? Jou medemens. Jou medemens, wat anders lyk as jy. Wat anders praat as jy. Wat anders aantrek as jy. Wat anders glo as jy. How's that one? When last have you reached out to a lost soul that is entrapped in the spiritual bondage and lie of Islam and reached out to them in love? Don't raise your hand now. We're only going to get that love for God and love for people when we become houses of prayer ourselves. Okay. Our hearts need to be broken with the things that break God's heart in order for our prayers to be pleasing in His eyes. Okay. Otherwise, we will pray amiss and we'll pray selfishly. Okay. Did you get that? Our hearts need to be broken with the things that break God's heart. Or else, ons gebede gaan selfsugtig wees, gaan skeef wees. They're going to be misplaced. They're going to have wrong motives. They're going to have unexpected outcomes. If your heart is not broken with the things that breaks God's heart. When was the last time you rode through a busy, busy intersection? The traffic lights turned red. That means you must stop. Green means go. Green means ride. Amber means ride faster before it turns red. And red means stop riding. When last have you gotten to such an intersection? And you've seen that person there with a board that says, people of God, please help. P-L-E-S. 10 kids, 3 wives, no food. And you say, you come up in your mind with all sorts of things as to how he got there, why he got there, and he doesn't deserve this, and he doesn't deserve that, and everything he's done wrong. When last has your heart just broken because you see somebody that has subjected themselves to an enemy that steals, kills, and destroys? When last have you seen somebody that's a victim of the devil instead of somebody that you omkrap? When last have you listened? I don't know if you, ek weet Philly doen het, or het het gedoen, ek weet nie nou nie, maar lees die koerant. Or you watch the news, and you hear about tragedies happening everywhere. And you hear about dozens and dozens of people dying, and the shitstorm that hit the place. Some of you are more shocked about the fact that I use that word, S-H-1-T, than you are about the fact that since I've been speaking, if you look on globalstatistics.com, they'll tell you how many people have died in the seconds and minutes that I've been speaking. Can you see waar ons is, mense? So vergewe my vir daai kras woord. But in the King James, it talks about P with another description. I'm trying to illustrate a point this morning. Ons lees verby daai goed. Ons sien daai goed nie eens meer raak nie. Why? Because our hearts are not broken with the things that break God's heart. We get so used to death and destruction, it doesn't even bother us anymore. And if our hearts are not breaking with the things that break God's heart, we will not achieve the Christian objectives of loving God and loving people. We'll just be indifferent. Ja, jy het verdien. Dis jou lot en jou loon in die lewe. That's your bed. You made it. You lie in it, pal. Cheers. En dan gat ons aan. We've got to get to a place where we allow God to change us from the inside out. To see this world, its people, the enemies of the cross, see them with the eyes of God. With the eyes of God. A God who doesn't rejoice in the death of the wicked. It says he has no delight in the death of the wicked. Do we think of the lost like that? Do we think of these people that are flat out working for the devil, that are people that are trying to kill you? Do you think of them as people that are desperately, desperately in need of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ons is maar so onverskillig, ons gaan maar net aan. Mozzie, I've got so many of my own problems, and so many of my issues, and there's so much There's hell breaking loose in my life. I've got no time to think about others who are on their way to hell. Well, that's why you've got no time to think about others. Because your prayer involves these three people, myself and I. I'm speaking to myself this morning. For the longest time, the most important people in my life were me, myself and I. And if there was anything left after I'd taken care of me, myself and I might consider you in your dire need. Until God had to show me, listen, son, you little snotkop lighty. He didn't say that to me. He should have, because that's what I was. This thing called life, it's not actually about you, see. It's not actually about you. There's a bigger picture. You've got a role to play in this thing called kingdom come and will be done. You're not just saved so that you can get health and wealth, like the prosperity people teach all the time. You're not saved so you can get health and wealth and health and wealth and health and wealth. You're saved so that you can live like Jesus did, that you can walk on this earth like Jesus did, that you can die like Jesus did so that others may live. Are you willing to live a life that involves being broken bread and poured out wine for others? If you're not, kry jou 'n ander geloof. Kry vir jou 'n gemaklike geloof ergens elders. Or you can decide, this is it. I'm in it for the long haul. God's not answering my prayers. But it's not about Him answering my prayers. I know that Jesus has paid a price for me. I want to live like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. As the Father sent Him, He has sent me into the world. And if I die in the process, I'm going to tell everyone about Jesus until He comes. If it costs me everything, I don't care. My health, my wealth, whatever. I don't care what it costs. He gave His all. I'm giving my all. You can only get to that place, church. Only get to that place if you pray like no work will help. And if you work like no prayer will help. Is somebody learning something this morning? I have righteous indignation towards the enemy. I have stolen, killed, and destroyed people of God. Why? Because they're not ready when He comes for them. They're not ready. He comes for them with everything that hell has got. And when we should be ready and dressed for battle, being able to pray things through, we're busy on our own mission, China. We're on our own jol, hunting on and living life, living the dream. And then you wonder what's going difficult with you. So, as God started laying this on my heart, I knew I'd spoken on prayer several years ago. I didn't know it was in 2017 last, or 2007, I think. 2007. I know it's something with a seven. And I went through those notes. I'm like, wow, 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 wow. Yes, Lord, it's time. We must do this again. We must do this again. I knew that God wants us to speak about prayer and what it means. So, if our hearts are not broken, we're going to be praying, excuse me, for the wrong things. So what does it mean to have a broken heart? But Mozzie, that doesn't sound like the gospel. I mean, somebody told me many years ago, no, but all you need to do is just give your life to Jesus and everything is going to turn out fine. Just give your heart to Jesus and everything is going to be, all your problems are going to magically disappear like mist in the sun. Just give your heart to Jesus. How many of you were told that lie? And then you engage in this thing called life and carrying your daily cross, and the pawpaw hits the fan. And then you wonder, where's Jesus now? Where's this God now? But nobody told you, yes, you'll get a life of abundance. You'll get a life of the power of God, the blessing of God, the prosperity of God. You'll prosper body, soul, and spirit. But if you are to be a partaker in the resurrection power and the resurrection life of Jesus, you're also going to have to be a partaker in His death, burial, and resurrection. It means on a daily basis, you're going to have to die to self. Lay down self. Lay down self. Pick up your cross and follow Him. If you were not told that, you were lied to and only received half of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jammer vir jou, nê? So what does it mean to have a broken heart? Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. That's the New King Jimmy, the version that Jesus used. The NLT says, that was a good place to laugh. If you don't understand it, Jesus didn't have a Bible, see? He is the living word. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. You might say, well, this whole thing about being brokenhearted, it doesn't fit in with what I understand the word to be. We're getting there, okay? We're getting there. Shalomet me. Right? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 51 and verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Contrite heart, broken. What it means, the NLT explains it, because it's a thought for thought translation. The sacrifice you desire, God, this is what you desire. Ja, mamazie, weet jy hoeveel rallies het ons bygewoon? Weet jy hoeveel dayjols het ons bygewoon? Weet jy hoeveel kilos het ek uitgery om al die weg uit te woon? Weet jy hoeveel bekers koffie het ek uitgegee as die Coffee Makers Association by die tente? Weet jy hoeveel effort het ek ingesit? All the sacrifice, great. But the sacrifices that pleases God is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I know lots of you are uncomfortable now, but you'll get over it. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and a repentant heart, O God. A repentant heart. That was the distinguishing factor between King Saul and King David. King Saul put in huge effort. He lived out God's plan for his life according to his idea. I'm going to serve this God, but on my terms. David is like, no, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, God, I'm sorry. I've sinned against you and against all people. Lord, I'm sorry, God. And God's like, yes, that's a man I can use. That's a man I can use because he's got a repentant heart. That's what it means to have this kind of heart, folks. So, are you glad that you came to church this morning to have your heart broken? Ek weet nie wat se verwagtinge jy gehad het nie, maar this is what God wants from us, people. Broken hearts. Broken hearts. The deep end had no idea what I'm speaking about this morning. And when they're singing that song, come be the fire in me, Lord. Come be the fire. This whole week, God has been saying to me, and I've been praying this, Lord, set me on fire. I want to burn for you. I want to burn for you, Lord. I want to burn, consume everything inside of me that brings you glory somehow, somewhere, somehow in someone's life. Come be the fire inside of me. Set me ablaze, Lord. Let me burn for you again. I want to burn for you. I want to burn for you. Light me on fire, because I want to burn for you. How many of you know that song? But they sing it a lot better than me. I mean, they actually can sing. I want to sing, but they can. And it's like, Lord, set me ablaze. Light me, Lord, light me. And imagine God lighting me like, okay, son, are you really ready? Yes, Lord, I'm tired of playing games, but are you really ready? God, you know. It's like Peter, God asked him, you know, do you love me? And he thought that he did. And Jesus actually had to get him to see, oh, God, you know. You know me, Lord. There is what I like to believe, and I like to believe that I'm ready to be used of God. But I imagine, how many of you love brine? Oh, come on, man. That's football. How many of you love, who doesn't like brine here? Let's see that. Who does not like a braai? Thank you. Shirley. Nee, jy moet regkom, girl. Jy moet regkom, man. Al braai jy graswossies, is lekker om te braai. You get these firelighters, they're like big thick things, like fat children's crayons, and you strike the whole thing, and then you put that on the charcoal briquettes, ne? Can you relate to what I'm saying? I want God to take me like that. He must just pluck me
out of my comfort zone.
And he must rub me up against his personality, his heart, and his word. And let the Holy Spirit light me. And say, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, one heart at a time. That's been my prayer. Use me, Lord. I don't care if there's nothing left. I don't care if there's no ash. Nothing. No remembrance of me. And we sing that song. Less of me, Lord, more of you. No, I want none of me and all of him. None of me and all of him. That's what it means to have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, church. And when we do not know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit helps us in our times of weaknesses. I don't know what to pray for. People come to me with issues expecting like I'm an answer machine. They're not willing to put in their own effort, Shalane. They're not willing to crack open the pages of their dusty Bible. They're not willing to get some Bible. They're not willing to read and study the scriptures themselves. They would, like, pastoor, skiet gou-gou vir my 'n gebedjie op. Wat? Wie dink jy is ek? I can't fix you. Fixing you is killing me. I don't have an answer to you for your issues. Only Jesus. I can point you to my King. I can point you to my Lord. But I can't fix you. Nee, en ek kom na my toe met 'n verwagting that I got to give them chapter and verse. I got to eat the word of God, regurgitate it for them so it's easy and comfortable, and then they can move on instead of them making the time to seek God's face for themselves. Yes, there's a time and place where everybody needs somebody sometime. Hello. Everybody needs somebody sometime. But we all have to get and go through. For men, ons moet by ons persoonlike Gethsemane kom. Our personal Gethsemane, Megan. Wat beteken dit? There was a time when Jesus had to be left on his Patmalone. His grootste gabbas, his bras. I'll be with you till the end, Lord. I won't be like these other disciples. I'll die for you, Lord. Yes. He was the first one to deny him. But in the face of a little woman, Jesus had to be alone and experience his personal Gethsemane, like we have to experience our personal Gethsemane. So everybody needs somebody sometime. But there comes a time where we need to seek God's face for ourselves. Remember those bracelets, push. Pray until something happens. I challenge you with this. If you haven't got your answer or your breakthrough from God, because sometimes we pray and ask God for an answer, and guess what? He doesn't want to give you an answer, sweetheart. He just wants to give you himself. You want an answer? No, he just wants you to have him. That's all. To be satisfied with his presence, Kobus. To be satisfied with his peace. Nie die hoe, die waar, die wanneer, die wat. So if you haven't got your peace or your answer, guess what? You ain't prayed enough. You haven't got your breakthrough. Here's this thing I learned this week. I challenged myself to learn one thing 1 week. Because if you stop learning, you stop leading. I don't want to be a good leader. There's lots of good leaders out there. I don't want to be a good leader. A good leader leads followers. A great leader leads leaders. I want to be a great leader for God. And for that, I have to keep on learning. I learned this thing this week. Leon, don't let your deadlines interfere with God's timeline. Maak dit sin vir julle daar agter, Shomaine? Does that make sense? Don't let your deadline interfere with God's timeline. Your deadline is, ek moet nou ry werk toe. God, do you know how busy Joburg traffic is? God's like, okay, go into the world without me. How's that working for you? God knows how busy I am. Ek werk skofte, mosie. Ek het nie tyd om vroeg op te staan nie. God knows how busy I am. Here, die kleinkinders, these kids have kept me up all night, and my husband even worse. He's the biggest, most obedient, disobedient kid in the house. Ek sit opgeskep met hom. God is like, well, woman, you chose him. Deal with him. Don't let your deadline interrupt God's timeline. He knows best, regardless of what you think, sir, ma'am. That might be news to you. God actually knows better than you. See, he actually does. So when we do not know what to pray for, Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For when we don't know what God wants us to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be expressed in words. Okay.
So I'm not going to talk about tongues now, but I think we're going to land this thing. I've been going for half an hour, and there's only so much that people can take. It's from broken and repentant hearts like these that the purest and holiest of intercession flows as the Holy Spirit prays through us. Please listen carefully as the Spirit of God quickens this to your soul. It's from broken and repentant hearts like these that the purest and holiest of intercession flows as the Holy Spirit prays through us. So we're going to do just that this morning. We're going to do a prophetic action. What's a prophetic action? There are times in the Bible where God commanded prophets to live out what's called a pantomime. They had to do something with their bodies physically that would carry a message over to his people, because they were so hardnekkig and stubborn that, that's it, stiff neck. They couldn't hear anymore. God says, okay, I'll paint a picture for you. And he got the prophet to paint the picture. So that's a prophetic action. We see that with Haggai, where God told him to marry a prostitute. We see that with a prophet that had to take a sash from around his waist and bury it. It had to become sif and frot. And God says, well, that's how you've become, because you've prostituted yourselves with these other things. Okay, so we're going to do a prophetic action this morning, and we make a declaration. I want to say to you this morning, Church of Jesus Christ, that if, and only if, and God's prayer is, and my prayer is, that if we live this out, His church, called Real Life Ministries, and your lives will never be the same again. If, and only if, we live this prophetic action out, this place, this area, your lives will never be the same again. Or, I pray to God not, that we'll just carry on. Same old, same old. Same old routine, same old lifestyle, same old habits, same old, same old. Same old three songs, four songs, same old whatever. Same old sound, same old boring preaching. Same old lifeless teaching, same old, same old. Or we'll get to a place where we experience a newness and a freshness in the Spirit of God and breakthrough in your life like never before. I don't know what you want. I know what I want. There's a song that the Deep End sings from a preacher preaching when the well is dry. What, help me, Wendy. What's that, Licky? No, yeah, which one I'm talking about. From the preacher preaching when the well is dry. Everybody, revive us. I don't know about you. That's it. I want personal revival. Ek is moeg gepreek julle. Ek is moeg vir my preke. Ek soek God se preke. Ek soek die Heilige Gees se sal ons in ons midde. I want to see God confirming His word through the demonstration of Spirit and of power. I don't know about you. And I say this with the utmost love and respect. If you want to carry on doing your thing, bless you. You're an agent of your own free will. You have a choice to go on, or you can choose to change this morning. So without putting pressure on anybody, we're going to do this prophetic action. And then I've asked the sound guys to prepare a song for us. And that song just spoke so to my heart. And one day, I know soon the Deep End is going to be doing it for us. Amen. Woo-hoo. It's a song about where we are at, this thing called warfare, where we are at in this whole spiritual battle. We're going to do that at the end. Is that okay, church? So if you're keen on personal revival and want to see revival come to your life and in your family and in your house and in your work and in the schools, wherever you find yourself, stand with me as we do this prophetic action this morning. If not, I say that respectfully, you can stay seated. You can just, no pressure on anybody. This is between you and God, not because I'm asking people to do something. This is between you and God. Okay. So. Hier is nie stilte kerk nie. So, I want you, wherever there's a chair in front of you, behind you, to the side of you, move it now. Move it. Move it. Move it. Move it. Move the chair. Move the chairs. Move the chairs. Move the chairs. Wait. Skuif die stoele, vir wie wat nie Engels vang nie. Skuif die stoele. Skuif die stoele julle. Skuif die stoele. Right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ that as you do a move in the Spirit, Lord, things change. When you speak, things change. When you move, Lord God, things change. When you move, Lord God, demons flee. When you speak, bodies are made healed. When you speak, there's restoration, Lord. When you speak, there's deliverance, Lord. When you move, there's power, Lord. And as we've moved chairs in this place today, thank you that you're going to move our lives. You're going to change things in our hearts. There's going to be a shift in the Spirit. There's going to be a shift in our minds. There's going to be a shift in our lives, Father. We're going to become disciplined sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're going to come to you and say, Lord, here I am. Break my heart with what breaks yours. We're going to come to you and say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. We're going to come to you and say, Lord, I don't care what it costs. I'm going to pay the price, Lord. And Lord, when I stumble, when I fall, when I fell, you're going to pick me up, Lord. I don't care, Lord. You are going to make the change, Lord. You're the God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the one that's all-powerful, Lord. You're going to bring the breakthrough we need. You're going to come not late, not early, just in time, in your time. I don't care how long it takes. I'm not quitting, Lord, until I get an answer from you. Lord, I'm going to be like Jacob that wrestled with you, God. He would not let go of you until he had his answer and his breakthrough from you. He was never the same afterwards, Lord. He held on to you and you saw that this boy is serious. This man is serious. And he was never the same again, Lord. He limped forever until his dying day after that because he was different. His name changed from Jacob to Israel because he'd wrestled with God. He'd wrestled with God. And you called him, Lord God, to be a prince of your people. And we are like that this morning, Father God. We're tired of playing church, Lord. We're tired of playing church. Father, take this blessing that we've been entrusted with, this little building here in Three Rivers East, Lord, called Real Life Ministries. God, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, turn this place into a house of prayer, Father. Teach us to pray, Lord. Teach us to pray, Lord. The selfish, lifeless, shallow, short-winded, faithless prayers, Lord, let it end today. Let it end today, Lord. Let there be a new breakthrough in our hearts. Teach us, Holy Spirit, to pray like Jesus does. Jesus, you ever live and live forever to make intercession at the right hand of God on our behalf. You intercede on our behalf for us, Jesus. Teach us to be the same, Lord. Teach us to be the same, Lord. Let us learn to come to you, Lord God, with thanksgiving and rejoicing, with all forms of prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving, to make our requests known to you. Teach us, Lord, what it means to pray, Lord. Teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father. Holy Spirit, move in this place, Lord. Move in every heart, every life, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to move past the moment and the emotion. And Lord, turn our emotions into strategy. For each person here this morning, each individual, Here sê vir ons, verduidelik dit vir ons aan ons, vir ons onthalwe, ons eie onthalwe, vir ons as individue, wat hierdie beteken. Wat beteken dit, Here, om 'n huis van gebed genoem te word? Wat beteken dit? O Heilige Gees, gee vir my u openbaring. Betoon aan my die God, die Hemelse Vader se liefde, sy geduld, die krag van die Heilige Gees, Here, verduidelik vir my van vooraf, wat het beteken vir my, in my leven, in my situasie. Lord, today, thank you that there's overcomers, Lord. There's overcomers more than conquerors. They're going to rise up and live and reign and rule like Jesus in this place like never before. In Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, Lord God, that as of today, when your children, us, your sons and daughters, young and old, everyone that can hear, when they wake up in the morning, the forces of hell are going to say, oh no, oh no, here comes a king of
of God's priesthood, a daughter of the Most High God. Here comes a king in the business place. Here comes somebody that's seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. He has a belief in the Lord Jesus that's gonna plunder hell and populate heaven. That when we wake up in the mornings, Lord God, even before our feet touch the ground, the devil is gonna know that he kom groot moeilikheid. That the kingdom of hell is gonna be plundered and the kingdom of heaven is gonna be populated. Because greater is Jesus who lives in us than he that's in the world. And if God be for us, nobody can be against us, and nothing will be able to separate us from his love. We tell the enemy that nothing will be able to separate us from God's love. Not you, not your demons, not your lies, not your sicknesses, not your disease, not your poverty, not your lack, not your failures. None of that will be able to separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of the Most High God said, amen and amen. Gentlemen, let that song rip. And the goal is to let every single resident in Eligwe State hear the truths of this song. Let's worship together, church.